Over me, I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well. I have a God who cannot fail. I have a God who lifts his angels watching over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well. I have a God who cannot fail. I have a God who puts his angels watching over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet. I have a God for when I'm sick or when I'm feeling well. I have a God who cannot fail. I have a God. Hallelujah.
Man, we're going to have our... Oh, go ahead.
One more thing I had forgot. We've been announcing it, but we haven't had a real big promotion over it, and that is the Ladies Ministries Mother's Memorial. Today was supposed to be the last day for Mother's Memorial. No, you can put it in there. Go ahead. No, wait for the other kids. Amen. It's all right. They'll be up catching up with you in just a moment, okay, as soon as I get out of the way. Today, this service, this last offering that just got done, was supposed to be the last Mother's Memorial. There are some of us that remember having Mother's Memorial drives and pushes where we had boys and girls filling the cans and doing coin things and a thermometer on the wall. And, you know, we would week to week, the boys are winning, oh, the girls are winning. And normally the girls would beat us. But hey, for Mother's Memorial, why not? Praise the Lord. But we didn't do all that this year. So subsequently, we haven't had a real big push for Mother's Memorial. I'd like to extend the Mother's Memorial offering to one more service, to Wednesday of this week, because I did not bring my checkbook, and my wife is not here, and I'm just discombobulated without the other half of my being being with me. I don't have things together.
Okay.
Awesome. So Wednesday, and I'd like to pledge $100 for myself and $100 for my wife for the Mother's Memorial. And if there is anybody else that can help our Mother's Memorial offering by putting something extra in between today and Wednesday, it'll be greatly appreciated. Amen. Mother's Memorial does a lot for our district and for the United Pentecostal Church International. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Kids, are you ready for Sunday school?
Yes!
No.
I have a God who puts his angels watching over me. I have a God who puts my enemies beneath my feet.
One more announcement, and that is, anybody know what this is? It's called the Elements Registration.
Yes.
next Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, we will again have our Elements class. And if you haven't signed up and you would like to, just take a picture of that with your camera. It will come up. You type in your name and stuff. And if you need any help with that technical stuff, see Brother Dyke. Brother Dyke or myself, we can work your, or Brother Andre, amen. But we encourage you, Elements class is going to show you, lead you, help you to understand the things of God. Amen. And if you were, by the way, if you were in Elements class 1, well, then you are automatically registered for Elements class 2. Amen. So your name is already on the list. We're hoping that you will come. Brother Dyke will have his class on Monday night at 7 o'clock until 7:50, and then join us for the ending of our prayer meeting. My class, Elements number 1, will start next Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning, until 10:50. So we'll come into church just a few minutes before start. So praise the Lord. I hope you'll partake. Turn with me, Isaiah chapter 9 is where I'd like to lead you. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, and also Luke chapter 4. We'll get there in just a moment. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." My topic today, or my title, will be The Wonderful Name. Amen. It is, of course, about Isaiah is talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. But one more reading before I let you be seated. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" They were in great wonder. Amen. Again, my topic, The Wonderful Name. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for that wonderful name. Lord, the name that it's above every name, God, at the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that there would be anointing, God, that you'd give understanding and revelation. God, that you would open up, Lord, the scripture unto us to know it, to hear it, to, Lord, even put it in our heart. I pray that you would give me strength, Lord, to preach on this, on the name of Jesus. And Lord, help me, God, to say of your purpose for our lives today, that you'd touch every life that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Jesus Christ is truly wonderful. And I wonder at how great God is. I haven't figured it out yet. He's greater than my mind can comprehend. Jesus Christ is really, he is greater than I could ever even imagine. There are wondrous ways in his ways. Amen. He is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. His attributes are wonderful. His teachings are wonderful. The way that he lived his life as the example for us is wonderful. Amen. Of all of the names that have ever been named in all of the earth, the names of every living human being that has ever been, there is no other name that is more wonderful than the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, all other names, of his is Jesus' name in all the earth, it carries more meaning than all of the other names. Amen. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has great context, great meaning, great power is in the name of Jesus. Amen. In fact, the Bible gives the highest of honors to that single name. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you are going to be saved, it will be in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's no other name that we will be saved by than in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Where God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'll tell you what, you might as well just go ahead and call him Lord now. You might as well just go ahead and give in and admit that Jesus is God. Amen. Might as well do it ahead of time. Because the Bible tells me everybody's going to come to that realization one day. Amen. Even that hard-headed person who doesn't want to admit it, they're going to admit it. Amen. They're going to confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. You see, even you go back in the scriptures, you go back in time, you go back in the plan of God, before the birth of Jesus, the greatest name of Jesus Christ was declared. His name was given before he came. Amen. The angel told the parents what to name him. Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, his name, it identifies who he is, right? My name, Tom Greeley, identifies me as Tom Greeley. Your name identifies you as who you are. But the name of Jesus Christ identifies who Jesus is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. Jesus is God with us. The name of Jesus was chosen by God because it identifies him as Jehovah Savior. amen. In other words, it reveals who he was, his mission on earth. It identifies his characteristics. To know him is to know that he is the key to salvation. His name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. There's wonderful attributes about the name of Jesus. Isaiah began his description of Christ's greatness by revealing that his name would be called Wonderful. The designation carries with it the concepts of amazement, surprise, astonishment, awe, admiration. The Hebrew word from which it translates is the idea of marvelous, hidden, too difficult, and even the idea of being unique and different. There's no name like Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful. True wonder is not a shallow emotion, nor is it based on the passing wave of excitement. Wonder is not cheap amusement. When a person displays true wonder, he has affected deeply and enriched by the experience of that wonder. You see, we can marvel at things that I have seen or that you have seen that we consider to be wonderful. As a butterfly emerges, it seems like a miracle. How can that worm become a butterfly? It seems incredible. Yes, I wonder at it. But God made that happen. God put that in his plan. Amen. The transforming of that tiny little seed to grow into a beautiful flower or a stalk of corn or an oak tree that feeds the squirrels. It's wonderful. Amen. It's awe-inspiring. How does it happen? My wife, in the springtime, almost every year, she'll comment on, you know, the trees, they have no leaves. All the trees are bare. And pretty soon, little buds are coming out. And she'll just wonder at the marvelous hand of God, how he transforms the face of the earth by his plan. Amen. I'll tell you, it's wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. The work of an Adam. It talks about the Adam in the Bible. Man finally figured it out here in my lifetime about that little tiny portion, part that is the basis of everything. Amen. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. The birth of a child. I have seen all four of my children at birth. I know they came from me. My wife had those kids. I saw it. Amen. I was a witness to it. And I tell you what, every time, it doesn't matter if it was the first one or the fourth one, my eyes are wide open and I am full of wonder at how that God just created this new person. Amen. How can you not see the handiwork of God in a little baby? Amen. It's a wonder. Amen. It's marvelous. Praise the Lord. Praise God. His name, Jesus, shall be called Wonderful. To really comprehend the wonder of Jesus Christ causes one to react with humility, with awe. We are overwhelmed with a sense of both greatness, of how great God is, and that it also makes the individual feel that we are insignificant. We are so small in the face of who God is. Amen. It's such a wonder that he would even know us. And yet, he understands every hair. He's counted every hair on your head. He knows every need that you have. Amen. He has called you by name. Amen. And it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? The people in Canaan, they were attending an ordinary wedding in the day that Jesus was there. And until Jesus instructed the servants to pour ordinary water into ordinary pots and then to serve that water to the governor of the feast as wine, everything was ordinary until Jesus stepped in. Amen. Amen. Our life may seem ordinary until Jesus steps in. Praise the Lord. Peter and the other apostles, they would have lived ordinary lives, but they met Jesus Christ. And they were surrounded daily by the great wonders of Jesus. And because of their relationship with Jesus, they became historical giants in the church. Amen. With their names written on the foundations of the holy city. Amen. God changed their purpose when they followed him. Amen. God will change your purpose when you follow him. I tell you, it's wonderful. Amen. I can't tell you what he's going to do with you, but I can tell you it will be wonderful. Praise the Lord. In his earthly ministry, Jesus did many wonderful things. He opened the eyes of the blind. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He commanded the sea and the waves and the wind to peace be still. He taught truth and brought men toward God. He made what seemed like little mustard seeds into great sermons. The lost sheep to become lost souls. The harvest fields became places of missions. He transformed what was prior a shameful symbol into a symbol of victory and hope at the cross. Amen. The darkness of men's sins into the greatness of God's mercy. No one but Jesus, God manifest in flesh, could accomplish such world-changing things as these. He is wonderful. Amen. His name is wonderful. Amen. Jesus, he was, and Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. God robed in a body. Amen. And we can comprehend perhaps or appreciate or apprehend who and what God is because we know Jesus. Amen. Through him, we know that God loves us, and by showing us his great mercy, his grace, his power, his glory. We know the greatness of God because we know the greatness of Jesus. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful. Amen. God is a spirit. God cannot be represented by any engraved image or by any statue. You know, the little symbol of a cross, people may put some, you know, that little symbol, that little trinket does not have any power. None. And don't be praying to no statues. No, that's not what God has called us to do. Amen. No graven images. No pieces of carved wood, not even stone, can ever show the nature of God. See, God has no dimensions. God is bigger than anything. Amen. He's no dimensions, no features that can be described, nor can he be represented by anything on this earth. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. Amen. There's nothing on this earth that looks like God. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. It's more important for you to have a relationship with God, amen, than any other thing on this earth, amen. It's more important than the house that you live in. It's more important than the job that you go to. It's more important than this building that we worship in. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is wonderful. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. He is in, or God is not limited by time and by space. He is a spirit in essence. He also possesses knowledge and wisdom beyond our understanding. Just because you don't know doesn't mean God don't know. Maybe you don't know how to figure it out, but God already knows how to figure it out. Amen. He speaks the language of every person on earth. You may say, well, we came to a place where there was an unknown language. Well, God knew that language before they started speaking it. Amen. God knows all languages. Amen. Doesn't matter what language you speak. God knows your language. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's the God of the plains. He's the God of the hills. He has created and directed the events in the history of people on the earth. That's how great God is. Amen. He is in the universe, yet he exists without it. He exists before it, and he will be after it. Amen. He is wonderful. My God is wonderful. Amen. His fullness, His greatness is beyond all human experience. His knowledge is beyond all human capability of learning. God is beyond your reasoning. God is because He is God. Amen. You might have good reasons for what you think, but God is the reason. Amen. Woo. He is wonderful. God is light. The Bible contrasts the light of God with darkness, which exists outside of God. Among other ways, the Scriptures describes hell as a place of darkness, while heaven is filled with light. Satan is the prince of darkness, but the Christian is not one of the darkness, but the Christian is of the light. Amen. The light of Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. Amen. Those without Christ have their minds darkened for lack of knowledge. Amen. They stumble blindly alone and along the path of life, and they cannot see the splendor of spiritual things. Amen. We come to a whole new understanding when we find Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I tell you what, you want to really understand, you want to really know why, you want to really get things together, well, then get a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He will help you figure it out. He's going to show you the way. He's going to bring you to where you need to be. He is wonderful. Praise the Lord. God is love. Love is a powerful attribute of Jesus Christ. Because God is love, so Christ Jesus is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love does not therefore just describe God. It is part of the very nature of who God is. God is love. Praise the Lord. He is wonderful. Praise the Lord. God's love is deeper than a casual acquaintance. You know, you can't come in the church one time and say, oh yeah, I've been there. I love God. Ain't been back in 2 years. Well, praise the Lord. Sinner, come on back. You're welcome in. Please come in. Please come in. Amen. Your daughter, your son, your loved one, your neighbor, the kid down the street, the other guy over there, he's, come on in. Come on in. The other lady, come on in. Amen. God loves you. God has always loved you. God will always love you. There's nothing you can do to make God not love you. Amen. God is love. Amen. Now, God hates sin too. Let me tell you that. God hates sin. He loves you, but He hates sin. Praise the Lord. Love goes way deeper than just a casual encounter. It is his commitment to the object of his love, as described in 1 Corinthians. The Greek word, agape, is among those in the New Testament. It's translated as the word love. It signifies the supreme essence of being selfless, of giving, of commitment in love. God's love was expressed on the cross at Calvary. When we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet in our sin, so that we may be saved and have eternal life. Amen. That is how much God loves us. He came himself to be the sacrifice for sin. Amen. Love is a basic difference between God and Satan. Satan kills and plunders and destroys. His ambition is the destruction of all that is wholesome and pure. God, on the other hand, gave himself to die for sinners. His mission is to seek and to bring deliverance and salvation to lost humanity. He reconciles himself. He reconciles us to himself. And he creates new life within us. He fills us with the Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit. He assures us of an eternal life and righteousness and peace and joy. God has such a great plan for us if we will just love him. Amen. It has been said that the nails did not hold Jesus on the cross. He could have called tens of thousands of angels to take him down. But he didn't. He didn't call out for help. He called out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." Amen. They didn't even understand who he was. Amen. That's how much God loved them. The very ones that put him on the cross, he loved them. Amen. Those that were yet in sin, us, he loved us that much. I tell you, Jesus is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Praise the Lord. Wonderful teaching. Jesus had wonderful teaching. Happiness. Anybody want to be happy? You can be happy. You can be blessed in Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3 down to verse 10, it tells about being blessed. That same word is happiness, or to be happy. It contains several statements of truth that all convey what Jesus wants his church to be like. Each of these eight statements begin with the same word, blessed. That word simply means happy. True happiness comes from a person's relationship with God and within himself. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Consider that word blessed and how it translates and even means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are they that mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are they that... Excuse me if I try to talk too strongly. It comes out as a cough. Calm down. Praise the Lord. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, happy are they. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Happy are the reviled and persecuted and falsely accused for Christ's sake. They're happy. His name shall be called Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You see, the lesson is clear. God has given us, God has forgiven us of all of our transgressions against Him, against God, against anybody else. God has forgiven us already. We must, therefore, be willing to forgive others of their transgressions against us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Aren't you glad we didn't fall off the debt cliff yesterday or tomorrow? Amen. God has paid my debt of sin. Amen. He is wonderful. He's wonderful. Praise the Lord. The reason for practicing forgiveness should be obvious. A Christian must not tolerate unforgiveness. We have to forgive because He forgave. Amen. He is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Prayer is a vitally important element in the ministry of Jesus Christ. The scriptures reveal that the disciples came to Jesus desiring that He would teach the disciples to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. His example of praying made such an impact on the disciples that they wanted to pray every day of their lives. Amen. It became a nature. It became part of who they are that they would pray unto Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. His name is wonderful. Praise the Lord. His name is righteousness. Jesus' ministry focused on a change of the heart. Jesus shared with Nicodemus the necessity of the new birth and of the water and spirit and scripture. He was explaining to Nicodemus what the change that needed to happen. John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. There was a certain man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. So he was a religious person, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, it doesn't make human sense that a person would hear what Nicodemus was hearing Jesus say. And what Jesus was really telling him was of things to come, when Jesus would fulfill the ministry of the sacrifice on the cross, that sins could be remitted, that people could repent of their sins, and that they could be born of the water. Now, in the flesh, does it make a lot of sense that you have to go down in water and get all wet and have a preacher say the name? Is it really that important? In the name of Jesus Christ? It really is that important, because Jesus is the only one. It's the only name under heaven that we are saved by. So when the preacher says, in the name of Jesus Christ, it has great significance. And when you go down, this part in the flesh doesn't make a lick of sense. What does it matter? Most people in here probably take a shower every single day. Getting wet is normal. Everything gets wet every single day. But there's nothing like being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Because it's the name that makes the difference. His name is wonderful. The name of Jesus is wonderful. You mean to tell me that if this guy has been running with the hood and he's been doing a lot of not good stuff and he really he's been bad, let's just leave it at that. This has been a bad person for a long time. You mean that guy can come in here and obey scriptures and be baptized and God forgives all his sins? God's just turned a page and forget all that stuff? Yep. That's what the Bible says. That's what God does. Now, Nicodemus wasn't a bad guy. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious leader. And in all probability, he had a lot of really good things going for him. You know, he was a teacher and he was respected and, you know, he was religious and he had a lot of learning and he had a good name in the community and he had, you know, a lot of good things already going for him. You mean that guy? The good guy needed to be baptized in Jesus' name? He wasn't stealing or killing, or he wasn't saying bad things. He wasn't taking anything wrongly. He wasn't saying anything out of place. He was teaching the Old Testament scriptures. He was teaching what Moses said. You mean that guy had to be baptized in Jesus' name? That's what I'm saying. The scripture said Nicodemus, he was talking to that guy, the good guy, that needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that name is wonderful. That name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, amen, sins are remitted. The name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Anybody read that part right in the middle of that verse? For the remission of sins. That's the reason why Jesus did what he did. His name is wonderful. Praise the Lord. In giving, Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how that people cast into the treasury. They were taking up an offering in the church. And Jesus was watching as the offering was taking place. You can imagine that in our church, right? People come and bring their offering and, you know, some people probably give a lot, and some can only give a little. But look how Jesus saw the offering. Verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. So she gave a very small offering. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, it was a teaching moment for Jesus to explain to his disciples something of the kingdom. Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. Time out for just a second. You think 2 farthings? Was more than the rich man gave? If the rich man put a bag of gold in the treasury, now, in the carnal sense, the rich man probably gave more monetarily than the widow woman. But again, look through the eyes of Jesus. He's going to tell us. Verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, so the rich gave in much, and this poor widow woman gave in 2 mite, or farthing. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. All she had left was 2 mites. And to her, it was more important that she be able to give what she was able. I tell you what, Jesus is wonderful. It's not how much you have or how much you give. It's how faithful you are. Amen. That one who had so little gave what she had. And Jesus taught the disciples about giving, not from the rich guy, but from the poor widow woman. His ways are wonderful. Praise the Lord. His name is wonderful. Okay, I'm ending with this. I might go past 12:30 by a minute or two. Matthew chapter 6. It talks about and anxiety. Jesus Christ has a cure for anxiety. Amen. There was someone that I just talked to even today. You try to go get an appointment with a psychologist or a counselor or a community person that is going to try to help you with your problem. Okay, we'll put you on the list, and you come back, it's 6 months, November the 17th. You can have a one-hour appointment, 30-minute appointment. No, that's not how Jesus works. Let me show you. Jesus offered hope for us who are struggling with uncertainties and provisions in this life. I'll tell you, his ways are wonderful. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm ending with this, beginning at verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The flower is more beautiful than what Solomon had. Where did I end off here? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I'm telling you, God is able to help you with your need. Amen. Today, I'm talking, you can get an appointment with Almighty God today. You don't even have to leave. God has an appointment for you scheduled right now. God is wonderful. God wants to meet your need today. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me read that part again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Rewind. But seek ye, somebody point at the middle of your chest. Ye, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what have you been having anxiety over? What have you have need of in your life? Are you sick in your body? The wonderful healer is here. Have you got anxiety? The wonderful counselor is here. His name is Jesus. Amen. He taught us that if we will seek the kingdom of God, the Lord will provide our earthly need. It doesn't even matter what it is. If it's in your children, if it's in your home, if it's in your spouse, if it's in your family, if it's in your body, if it's in your finances, if it's in your job, if it doesn't even matter where the problem came from. My God is able to meet your need. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is able to meet your need today because he is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Amen. Whatever your need is, whatever it is, you can have that need met today. Your appointment with God starts right now. Would you lift your hands? Would you talk to the counselor, the mighty God, Jesus Christ? Would you talk to the Lord Savior, the heaven of all the heaven and earth, the one who created all things, who made all things, the glorious Savior that is above all names? His name is Jesus. He's able to meet your need. While we sing, would you join me? Come, let's pray.
Jesus powerful, so powerful. Chains are broken when it's spoken. Every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? So powerful. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Chains are broken. Chains are broken when it's spoken. Every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? There is freedom in the name. Healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in
Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just, I know that there's been quite a few that have already registered for the elements class. Just for a visual for me, if you are coming to my class next Sunday, 10 o'clock, kind of wave your hand at me. Amen. There's several. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Good, good, good stuff. 10 o'clock Sunday morning. There's a little room right behind my office on the stage of the platform in the fellowship hall. That's our meeting area. So that's where we'll meet at 10 o'clock for the elements class number one next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Would you love him with me again? Lord, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. Lord, for your wonderful name. Lord, the name of Jesus that's above every other name. Thank you, Lord, for your name, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, continue, Lord, to draw your people unto you and to have your will, God, be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. So the youth event this afternoon is on. All the youth say, on.
On.
All right. The youth event is on today. Amen. See Brother and Sister Zimmerman for more detail. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.